Hi. It's good. It's good to see you. Lunch was adequate. It really was great. We had a layover in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're looking for a place to eat. And the only place that really looked appealing was a cheesesteak place. And we're on our way to Philadelphia, you know? And we'd kind of made up our minds to go in and split a cheesesteak, and we're sort of sallying up to the line, big line, lots of people. And Joanne said, you know, we're going up to Philadelphia. What are we doing eating a cheesesteak in Atlanta, Georgia? So thank you, John Stella. Where is he? Down washing dishes, probably. Can you hear this? Can you hear this, John? Thank you for that cheesesteak. It was way better than anything we'd have got in Atlanta, Georgia. Anyway. God is good. God is good. Good ministry, brother. Thank you. If you're here and you haven't met me, or you don't know Joanne and I, you're entertaining the weeping prophet this weekend, so... There will be. I started crying when he sang that song. Anyway, there are those times when the Lord just kind of overcomes me and I fall down into a puddle here. Just be patient, I'll be back. I'll gain control, you know. But anyway, we're going to be looking at building for the Lord. Building for the Lord. It's not a coincidence that you're a Christian. God called you. He didn't select you over somebody else. You know, you're not, you know, there's not this pecking order of his picking. Because he draws all men to himself. But you can take it to the bank that he called you. And the Holy Spirit worked in your heart to convict you of sin, yours, righteousness, his. And the judgment, it's coming. And the Lord Jesus carried out the plan. He died for you and me. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, all of this that Scott spouted, you know, that's not new. Anything I put out today is not new. And anyway, nothing new under the sun. But it's good to have it redrawn fresh to our hearts and minds. And I used to say, somebody said to me, you know, Bob, Brownie, actually, you know, Brownie, if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. And that's true, I believe that. And I said that in our chapel one day. Just about all of our people are saved out of the world. So they don't know enough to know whether something's appropriate or not. So you're apt to hear about anything. But anyway, I said that one morning in our chapel, and one of the young ladies came up to me afterward, and she said, and you know what, Mr. Bob? If you were the only person in the world, you'd have been the one who drove the nails. You'd have been the one who drove the nails in his hands. Preach it, sister. Broke my heart. building for the Lord, dot, 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 reflects corporate heart. When you walk out of these doors today, you're going to be walking out reflecting and representing Grace Gospel Chapel. Wherever you do go, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, however you act, how you dress, how you groom, whatever. You represent this chapel. And even bigger than that, you're representing the Lord Jesus to a lost and a dying world. I know Christians that are so grumpy. I think they convince people, I don't think I want to be a Christian, you know. I saw what it did to him or her. Being a Christian is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Right here, well, actually, technically, in an attic of a farmhouse in Potter County, Pennsylvania, I got saved. And, chicken growers have trouble with snakes. They crawl into the chicken coop and eat the eggs. And of course, I know nothing of this, so I'm way over my head, but the old story is that they used to put glass eggs in the chicken coop, and the snakes would come and swallow the glass egg, and they can't break it, and they can't crawl back out the hole that they crawled in through, and the farmer can, deal with the snake. Well, that's what happened to me in the attic of a farmhouse in Potter County, Pennsylvania. I took something into me. I couldn't crawl back out the same hole I crawled in through. I'll never be the same. And all of us are called to different things, to do different things, but I can say this is that I was 32 years old, and I said to myself, people need to hear about this. And I never heard about this. I grew up in the big church. I was a choir boy and an altar boy and all that kind of dribble. And I never heard the gospel. I learned Bible verses. I went through the catechisms. I was baptized, all of that stuff in the big church. And I never heard this. This is the best kept secret in the world. People need to hear about this. And for a long time after a while after we went to Louisiana, every time a full-time worker would come through, I'd say to them, bless you. I didn't say that to them. I'd say, would you teach me how to share the gospel? And they'd say, just give them the word, brother. Well, what word should I get? I'm saying this respectfully. But what word should I give him? Don't worry about it, the Spirit will lead you. Now listen, every bit of that's true. But when you're a young believer, you need a little bigger hook than that to hang us on. And every one of them told me almost word for word the same thing. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Until an old man came. He lived in the Western Assembly's home. We were just out there. Named Henry Peterson. He had led Dave Hunt to the Lord. Some of you know Dave Hunt. And he was visiting his son in Alexandria, Louisiana, and heard of our chapel was having a conference. All eight of us. So he came down to sit in on this great ministry. I asked him, I said, Mr. Peterson, would you teach me how to share the gospel? And he looked at me like I was a toad. And he said, do you really want to know? I said, I absolutely want to know. Well, he said, if I came down, would you spend time with me to learn? I said, whatever I got to do. The next year, he paid his own way. I didn't know anything about workers, I figured, I don't know who paid for him, but somebody paid for him, I didn't give him a nickel. He paid his own way from California to Slidell, Louisiana. Spent 2 weeks in our home, talked about the gospel, talked about evangelism, talked about souls and how they needed the Lord. And we'd go out every day, knock on doors. And this isn't the message, but we'll get to the message. Tom Taylor's wife used to sit in the front row when he preached, and as time would move on, she'd go. My wife has a pocket watch. It's about this big. So we'd go out, and one day we went out, and we're knocking on, and this is how he did it, and this is how I do it. Anyway. Hi, I'm Henry Peterson. I'm from Slidell Bible Chapel, just down the street. We're in the neighborhood meeting our neighbors. Got a little gift for you. Just want to let you know if you ever need anything, if you don't have a good church, we just want to make you welcome. Have a nice day. Off we go. I said, Mr. Peterson, when are we going to share the gospel? He said, oh, well, I don't know. He said, which house were we supposed to share it in? I said, I don't know. He said, neither do I. But I'll tell you this, when you find the one you're supposed to share the gospel in, you'll know it. And he said, our job isn't to stick our foot in the door and be obnoxious. Our job is to go and be nice, kind people, reflectors of Jesus Christ, and pray for these houses that we go to, and one day the Lord will disassemble their lives, and they may remember those nice people that came to our door. One night about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, I got a call from the state penitentiary in Texas, and it was a man who had gotten one of our tracts. I don't know how he got it. Magic, right? Magic. And he said, I read your tract and I got saved. Would it be possible to get a Bible? He said, I don't know. Pretty expensive, you know. And we sent him a Bible and Emmaus, what the Bible teaches correspondence course, and some other things along. Now, how did he get that? See, we got a big God, right? He's a big God. In the early days of the Brethren movement, they used to call the men that were of that way, they called them little men with big Bibles. When I first heard that, I was really offended, you know. And then I thought, wait a minute, that's the best compliment anybody could give us, right? Little men with a big God. Big God. So we go door to door. All of a sudden, one day we knock on the door. Hi, I'm Henry Peterson. Just in the neighborhood meeting our friends, and got a little gift for you. Want to let you know if you ever need anything, we can be help to you or counsel, or if you don't have a good church that you like, we'd be glad to have you come visit the chapel. This lady standing there in a house coat, nightgown, a robe, and she looks at us like she's seen a ghost, and she just breaks out in tears. She said, you're not going to believe this. She said, I was just sitting on the floor in my living room. My life is a disaster. My kids are a disaster. Everything is just a disaster. And I just said, you know, God, if you're really real, please send somebody who can help me. Hi, I'm Henry Peterson. She invited us in. We sat in the living room and shared the gospel. She got saved that day. So we leave, and we're walking down the sidewalk, and Mr. Peterson says, so, did you find the house we were supposed to share the gospel with? I says, whew, scared me. And I said, how could you miss it? He said, how could you miss it? I said, I don't know. I don't think you could. He said, our job is not forcing the gospel down people's throats. The farmer doesn't take his seed and just plunge it into the ground and stomp on it, right? He scatters seed. And that's what you do, just scattered seed. There's hungry people looking for seed. There's hungry lives looking for water. There's dark lives looking for light. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. I'll guarantee you, if you walk out of here today, ask anybody on the sidewalk you run into, chances are they don't know Christ. And they don't have a church. I led a young man to Christ who had never heard of Jesus in America. He had never heard of Jesus, never been in church, knew nothing. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And they're looking. They're looking. They think they can find what they're looking for in a bottle or in a pill or in bed. It's an empty, unhappy, dying, on its way to hell world. And you know, I've got the answer. And a lot of times we hang on to it so tight, it doesn't even do us any good. Carl Knott is a good friend of ours, has been. He came to Louisiana to see what it was like to work with Catholics. And it's 85% Catholic in South Louisiana. And he spent 2 weeks in Slidell and took him around to most of the other meetings in the Deep South. And one day I said, Carl, I need help. I said, every morning I wake up and I pray, Lord, lead me to the person who needs to hear the gospel. And every night I go to bed, and I thought, where was he? And Carl looked at me like I was a frog and said, well, what'd you expect him to do? Flop down on the sidewalk in front of you and beg to get saved? Not exactly, but kinda, right? Kinda. I mean, I'm hoping they'd come to me, you know. He said, listen, you pray that, the prayer's good. But you see, we got a big invisible God. We have a God who has no lips. So if he's gonna speak to you, he's gonna have to speak to you through circumstances and things that work and things that don't work, and he will guide you as tangibly as if he was right next to you, which he is. But he just doesn't have lips. So you got to be wise enough to watch for him and be in tune with him. And you pray that prayer in the morning, and then you go out and you assume that everybody you run into that day is the answer to that prayer. You're driving down the street, and you look down, and I need gas. And so you pull into this gas station and pay inside. And it just so happens that this person is at the counter that day. That's one of the answers to your prayer. Now, the least you can do is carry tracts. Did I talk about this Wednesday? I beat this drum a lot. It's hard to remember. Carry tracts. And again I say, carry tracts. And then give them out. Give them out. And again I say, give them out. Men, ladies, don't listen to this. Men always wear shirts that have pockets in here. Okay? Because otherwise you carry them in these pockets. And when you pull out a tract, it's going to be so grody, they're not going to want to have it. Who knows where that tract's been? Right? Up here, they stay nice. This doesn't apply to ladies because they carry them in their purse. And they can carry it there for 9 months, and it'll still be pristine when they pull it out. It's not a fair thing, but it's one of the deals between men and women, you know. Anyway, carry tracts, give them out. Everybody. Nobody's exempted from that. Okay? Hello? How many are going to carry tracts? Two hands. How many are going to carry tracts? John Stella's going to come and pull that cheesesteak back out your throat. He's big enough to do it. Carry tracts. Give them out. I thought they were the stupidest thing in the world. Who's going to ever read this tripe? Until I got this little tract, Am I Going to Heaven? And it's a test. People can't resist a test. And I took the test, and it was instrumental. Okay, here we go. See, now look at, even in my top pocket, look at that. It's a man thing. Okay, here we go. Am I going to heaven? It's got a test on the inside. What do you think it takes to get to heaven? And then you open up the other side and it says, going to hell. Wrong, 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 wrong. It's excellent. People can't resist it. You can print these. I have this. The one that led me to Christ is exactly like this one from Florida Bible College, who doesn't exist anymore, but I have their permission to print them. Bill McDonald wrote it for them. I have his permission to print them. You can print these yourself. Put your own chapel name on the back. Steps to Peace with God, kind of four spiritual laws. I don't like everything about it, but it's a really good tract. These are 25 cents a piece. They're expensive. Spend the money. It's eternal life involved in these things. It's a good tract. This one, yes. Can you read this? Death. Life. I don't know who came up with this. Bigger brain than me. It's incredible. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now that's the typical one you get. We took it and added to it a simple gospel presentation on the back of it. So everybody, people will keep this. I've seen this go under glass on executives' desks because it's so unique, but there's no gospel with it. So you put a little gospel presentation, write your own, I don't care. But you want the gospel to go out. Some of you here took Joanne and I out. We're going to get to the message. How much time do I have? When do I finish? When the hook comes out? Somebody here, somebody's probably, took Joanne and I to lunch. I'm going to use Joanne's version. I thought it was breakfast and lunch, but Joanne thinks it was lunch and supper. Somebody took us out to lunch, and I apologize for not remembering. And so they took us in, and you walked into this place. Cashier's on your left. Take a little jog to the right, and there's tables in here. And we sat in that table right inside the archway, and we had lunch. And when it was over, the folks that we were with picked up the bill, but I gave the little waitress one of these. It's a little bracelet, simple. Four spiritual laws. No. Wordless book, thank you. Wordless book. Little cheapy, chintzy. First one I got, I thought, who's going to want it, that thing? Yeah. Little girls, maybe. Everybody wants them. Girls, boys, everybody wants them. So I gave it to the waitress. And she said, oh, thank you very much. I mean, you know. And she got a tip, too. Always give a good tip. Don't be chintzy. Even if the service is terrible, give them a good tip, right? That's what Jesus would do. So I gave her the thing. It's also got the little wordless book, what it means. So off we went, and went and changed and did whatever we did. And then someone else took us to supper, happened to take us to the same place. Not only that, but we happen to sit in the same exact table. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Right? True, okay. She's so sassy. sat in the same table. And as we're sitting there, just kind of fellowshipping, talking, a lot of commotion right back here by the cash register. I mean, talking and laughing and, oh, do you really think we should? No. Yeah, I think we should. No. Pretty soon, the waitress that we had that morning came out. She's still on duty. She said, you know, this morning, I think it was you. You came here and you gave me this little bracelet she was wearing, by the way. And she said, would you happen to have any more of those? I said, well, I think we could. She said, well, all the other waitresses would like to have one too. So now you got the waitresses sharing the gospel with other people. And they did. Every one of them got a bracelet. And they loved it. They hang on to it. They wear it. And I tell them, well, listen, we're going to give you the bracelet, but you got to read the little slip of paper that goes with it. Right? If you have time, and sometimes you do, they'll ask you about them, and then you can actually explain them to them. Little girl in the airport in somewhere, she's one of these kiosk runners, and Joanne said, that little girl looks awful lonely. She didn't have anybody stopping at her kiosk. And so she went over and she said, I've got a little gift for you. You look lonesome. And gave her a little bracelet. And she said, that's really great. She went behind the little thing, came out. She said, you think my friend could have one too? And she gave one for her too. Carry tracts. Give them out. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Building for the Lord reflects corporate heart. James Naismith spoke at a National Workers' Conference one year. The topic of the conference was why churches die. Dr. James said, listen, this is the short of it. Dr. James said, listen, I'm a doctor, I'm a medical doctor. I see lots of people die every year. And we blame it on lots of things. Oh yeah, they had cancer, they had pneumonia, they had this, they had COVID, they had that. But he said, I'll tell you this, all people die of the same thing. Their hearts stop. And that's why churches die. Because their hearts stop. Our brother's ministry on prayer is really about falling in love with the Lord. And listen, when I fell in love with my little bride 58 years ago, I couldn't wait to show her off. I couldn't wait to tell other people about her. She's a marvel. Still is. I marvel every time I look at her. I can't wait to tell people about her. I'm married to the best, no offense, ladies, best lady in the entire universe, right there. It should be that way with us, with the Lord, shouldn't it? We love him so much. And then when we pray, we're just kind of snuggling up in his arms and talking to him about what's going on, what we need, what he needs. And you know, he really needs to know we love him. He longs to have us snuggle up to him and tell him how much we love him. He's our bridegroom. I know, Roy. I'm going to speak up again. I'm sorry. Another workers' conference, 2010. There was a young whippersnapper speaking there, and he spoke on the four characteristics of the church in Acts. Young whippersnapper, name Scott DeGroff. And the benchmark, maybe, I'm not sure the right word for it, but the benchmark of the ministry that just went straight to my heart, and we'll never forget it, and has impacted my life ever since. He said, the God of self must die. The God of self must die. And now, why don't we share the gospel more than we do? Well, we're afraid somebody's going to spit on us or make fun of us, or we might lose a friend over it, or might lose a job over it, or might ask us to move or might fire us or, well, what's so important about all that? Well, that's because that's me. It's my job. It's my home. It's my friend. It's my reputation. It's God of self must die. And out of the ashes will come a Jesus lover who just can't resist telling people and demonstrating to people the love of the Lord. What time does this end? Has it already ended? Well, four key points. I borrowed that from my brother. No, I didn't. Kidding. You know, listen. I had two good friends. They're all both with the Lord now, Tom Taylor and Phil Morgan down in Florida. And I've heard people say about both of those, oh, those men are frivolous with the word. Now, if you know Tom Taylor, you know that's really not true. But it's wonderful to be a happy Christian. I'm a happy Christian. Getting saved is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I have sad times. I have problems and troubles and all that. But basically, I'm a happy person. I'm a happy Christian because I got Jesus living inside of me. The worst you could do to me is shoot me dead, and then I'm in heaven. You know? Somebody might spit on me. I can wash that off. Ezra, the prophet, chapter 7. Chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. You touched on this morning a little bit. I thought he was going to steal my thunder. Ezra, chapter 7. Verse 6. And Ezra went up to Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all, and that's circled in my Bible, all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Isn't it a coincidence that a pagan king would come up with the idea that those Jews ought to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple? What? Imagine his also-rans. What? Yeah. God told me that they should go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And Ezra, they've already been building. Ezra decides that the Lord is calling him to go. Verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. In my Bible, little pieces are underlined in red. I think it was printed that way, but it wasn't. Ezra had prepared his heart. That's kind of what we're talking about this weekend, isn't it? Having a heart for the Lord. It you can do all kinds of stuff, but if it's just stuff you're doing, it's nothing. It's got to be stuff that you're doing because you love the Lord. And if you love him, he's going to open and close doors to guide you into what he wants you to do, where he wants you to do it, how he wants you to do it. And once you see his hand moving, it'll fire you up to move more. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget the look on the face of that lady on the living room, from the living room floor in Slidell. When she prayed, before she prayed, when it made sense and she saw it up here and down here, her eyes came alive. You could see when life came into that lady. And if you've ever been in the birthing room of eternity, there is no place in the universe like it. And when a person finally sees it, it's like Shazam. It's tangible. It's like when someone dies. The instant that person dies, you can see it in their eyes. They're not home anymore. They've moved. Some to heaven, some to hell. But the life is gone from their eyes. And when someone gets saved, you can see the life come into their eyes. It's incredible. It's like, I got to do this more. I want to see another one. Hi, my name's Bob. I'm from Slidell Bible Chapel, just down the street. We're in the neighborhood meeting our friends. I got a little gift for you. Just want to invite you out. If you never have a need, you know, just feel free to give us a call. Anything you need, we'll be here for you. We're your friends. Have a nice day. And every once in a while, people say, oh, nobody will open doors for you these days. Give me a break. You might get a doorbell talking to you. I knocked on a door in Augusta, Georgia. Nothing. Nothing. This voice comes from behind me. What do you want? I said, what do you want? Where are you? Look in the tree. There's a camera speaker up here in the tree. He's watching me, watching the front door from the tree. So I went over and talked to a tree. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Absolutely true. This is just a couple months ago. Guy talking to me from a tree. Hi, I'm Bob Brown. I'm from Augusta Gospel Chapel. In the neighborhood, me and our friends. Just want to let you know, if you ever need anything, we're here for you, and we'd be glad to talk to you about the Lord. It's free. It's nothing in it. It's a little hard to talk to a tree. Just leave it on the porch. I'll get it later. Okay. Right? I've called on thousands of doors. Thousands of doors. I've had three slammed in my face. Everybody worries about doors slamming in your face. People don't do that. Some are nicer than others. They may not be interested in what you have. They may not even like what you have. But generally, they're courteous, and generally, they're pretty nice. Three doors, they're all Catholics. That's just the way it is. Most people are kind to you. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to do it. And to teach others. Building for the Lord requires a commitment corporately and individually to the purpose. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to teach in seminary? You want to see souls saved? Do you want to disciple? What has the Lord laid on your heart? Scott, again, stole my thunder this morning. The other night, too. I want to apprehend, King James, I want to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended by Christ. And you read that, you think, what in the world does that mean? In other words, I want to lay hold of whatever it is that the Lord Jesus laid hold of me for. There's a purpose for you. God saved you, and he knew through the tunnel of time, this is just the guy that I need in Botswana, wherever, in Freedom, California. And I want to lay a hold of whatever it is he laid hold of me for. And when you do, hang on. I didn't pick South Louisiana. This is televised? Recorded? Okay. We love it in South Louisiana. We didn't pick that. The Lord picked it for us. We were headed home to Tennessee, great state of Tennessee. Been home for 25 years. legally home for us. Halfway moving there, my orders were changed to New Orleans, Louisiana. I didn't ask for that. I didn't want that. When you lay hold of what he's laid hold of you for, you'll know it. You'll be where you are supposed to be. Jeremy may not like it, but he's where he got laid hold of for. And Stacy. Stacy stood on the edge of the Gulf of Mexico. And I said, and he was like this. I said, "Stacy, what are you doing?" Oh, he said, "I was just thinking." "Really? What are you thinking?" "Well, my girlfriend is, near as I can tell, right over there in someplace in Central America. She's on a mission trip or something." And he said, "I miss her." Oh, okay. And we talked a lot while he was down there about serving the Lord. And here he is serving the Lord up at Camp Lilola. The same is true for you. If you want to serve the Lord, lay hold of him, and he'll look at chapter 8, verse 21. Ezra says, "I proclaimed a fast there at the river, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek him a right way for us and our little ones and all our substance." Which way shall we go? How can we get there? I don't know. And I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers, because he'd bragged about God, how God takes care of him and protects him from the evil things. And so wouldn't it be silly to ask the king for soldiers to protect him if you really believe that the Lord's protecting you? So point two is, to building for the Lord requires corporate and individual resolve to follow the Lord's way, not our own. We would have said, "Yeah, give us two legions of soldiers." Ezra said, no, we don't need anybody. We've got God. Historically, that's how assembly workers have worked. Tyrannus Wilson, who had a big impact on us, went to Angola and served a long, long time. And one of the men, when he left the Harlan and Wolff Ship Company in north of Ireland, gave him 2 gold sovereigns and said, "You know, if you ever need, you can always buy a steamship home." And I was at a conference where there were some men being pretty sarcastic about our way of doing things. And Mr. Wilson stood up and said, "I don't know about systems. There may be a system, I don't know," but he said, and he told the story of the 2 gold sovereigns that he pulled out of his pocket. He said, "I still have them today." The Lord takes care of his own, and he guides his own. To build for the Lord requires purpose. Building for the Lord requires following the Lord's will and way. Chapter 9. Verse 1. "Now these things were done. The princes came to me, saying, 'People of Israel, priests, and Levites, have not separated themselves from the people of the land.'" They had taken foreign wives for themselves and for their sons, and let their daughters be married to foreign husbands. Terrible, terrible. Jews are supposed to be a separated people, as are we. Right? Remember, the Old Testament is the picture, the New Testament is the fulfillment. We get pictures of it in the Old Testament. We get the real deal in the New Testament. Notice the princes came to him, and down in verse 2, down at the end, "The hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass." So the leaders were where the problem was. And so, at the evening sacrifice, they took care of that problem, separated themselves from it. And if you're going to build for the Lord, repentance, corporate and individual, of sin is necessary. The nation went into exile because of adultery to the Lord. They worshiped foreign gods. Everybody didn't, but many of them did. And those that didn't went into exile right along with those that did, right? So when you have a problem in a local church, the problem might be one person got sin in their life, will not let go of it. The devil paints sin very pretty. Smells good, tastes good, feels good, looks good. If he didn't, we wouldn't have any trouble with it. And if it creeps in, the sin of one person can destroy a whole work. Be very careful. I would invite everybody to look into their prayer mirror tonight with the Lord and just ask, you know, if there's some wicked way in me, Lord, root it out. Root it out. Because the body can't stand it. You know? The body can't stand it. A lot of times, you know, if there's poo in the pen, animals won't give birth there. They'll look for a clean place to bring their young in. And the church is that kind of a thing. You know, the church isn't for inviting unsaved people in. It's not for the gospel. It's for equipping the believers. You equip the believers in the body, and then they go out into the world and reach the lost. Evangelism, we got to get off our seats and on our feet and in the streets to see people saved. And then come in here and worship and teach and pray and fellowship. That's a Christian thing. It's part of building for the Lord. And finally, the last one down in verse 10, we're just skipping along here. In chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. When there's repentance and confession and prayer, there'll be revival. And take those wicked things out of our own hearts and our own lives. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Can't afford to have sin in the camp. It's got to be cut out. Building for the Lord requires commitment to corporate and individual purpose. What are we here for? What are we doing? To build for the Lord requires corporate and personal resolve to follow the will and way of the Lord. To build for the Lord requires repentance of corporate and individual sin. And building for the Lord requires recommitment to corporate and personal resolve and response. Father, bless your word, we pray. We thank you for it. What an incredible book we have before us. Forgive me if I have butchered it too badly. We pray that your Spirit, in spite of me, would teach our hearts. Help us, Father, as we go about our day, to see people as souls, eternal souls, on their way to an eternity somewhere. And help us to be eager to help them find the way, to find you. Father, we pray for this local church. We pray for the congregation that gathers here. We pray particularly for the elders and deacons. Each one of us, Father, that would form a team here. Jesus' specialists in winning souls, not with a bunch of flim-flam, not with a bunch of junk, but win them with your word. Those that are won by your word will last. So bless, we pray. We give you thanks for all of the activities of the day and the great lunch that John provided and the folks provided. And just bless the rest of the conference, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.